And you thought your job was tough. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. If you want to be loved, perhaps don't go work for the Congressional Budget Office. The nonpartisan agency's job is to make economic projections, look at economic effects of different laws, and provide Congress with all sorts of budget data. Data that always upsets somebody. The agency caught the wrath of the new administration earlier this year, for example, when it projected the Republican health care bill would drive up the deficit and leave millions uninsured. Democrats complained when Obamacare was originally being drafted. Well, later this morning, the CBO will deliver a much bigger projection, its annual 30-year budget outlook. Marketplace's Rima Crace looks at the value of such a long-term forecast.
The report looks at what will happen if nothing happens to laws governing taxes and government spending.
If it's status quo, business as usual, for the next 30 years.
Diane Lim is an economist with the Conference Board. She says that makes it easy to make projections about big programs like Social Security and Medicare.
I don't think it necessarily informs Congress about how they want to change current law. I think it just reminds them that current law is on an unsustainable path.
Lim says with long-term forecasts, there are some knowns, like demographic trends, the state of spending versus revenue. But the unknowns are huge. Recessions, war, tax reform.
So it's impossible to get them right.
June O'Neill is a former director of the CBO. She says Congress always hopes for a rosy scenario.
If the outlook for the economy is great, it's going to make most programs that you can dream up have an easier road.
But she says the CBO is grounded in reality and not in the business of promises. I'm Rima Crace for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down around 0.1%, with the Dow future down 21 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is down at 2.38%. The housing market continues to strengthen. Home prices nationwide were up 5.9% this year over year in this past January. They reached a 31-month high. That is the latest in a string of indicators that has Marketplace's economics contributor Chris Farrell a little concerned. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Sabri.
So, Chris, what's behind the strengthening that we're seeing of the home market?
Well, Sabri, I think there's a couple of factors that are behind it. I mean, one is job growth. I mean, the job market is healthier. Probably more important, the leading edge of the millennials are getting older. They're more established in their careers. They're starting to settle down, and we're seeing more millennials coming in as first-time home buyers. Interest rates. You know, the forecast for interest rates is they're going to go up this year. But the most important factor seems to be a limited supply of housing available to buy, especially for that critical first-time home buyer.
Bidding wars are nothing new to, I think, New Yorkers, but sounds like bidding wars are becoming a thing again, becoming common again.
Boy, they are. Here in the Twin Cities, where I'm based, everyone's talking about multiple buyers and people stretching to buy. And when I travel around the country, I'm getting that same story. And, you know, two national indications of this shrunken supply. First, the housing inventory in December. That was at its lowest level since 1999. Now, that's when the National Association of Realtors started collecting that number. But the other thing is Zillow, the online realtor. They have this calculation that there will be 3% fewer homes for buyers to choose from this year. And you think, well, 3%, that doesn't sound like much, does it? But 3% actually is a big number if you think that inventory is already so low.
Why is inventory so low? Why?
So I think this is, to a large extent, a consequence of the downturn. Is that the right word? Maybe catastrophe that we had in the housing market. There hasn't been a lot of that sort of expansion in the supply of new homes that would drive down the prices of existing homes. And I also think a lot of people have decided that the economics of remodeling are more attractive than the economics of selling and moving.
Chris, you know, this heating up the market, multiple bids, buyer stretching, honestly, it sounds like this is going to be very rough on a lot of first-time home buyers.
I think there are too many people stretching to buy, you know, getting caught up in the enthusiasm. And there was this article by David Blanchett. He's head of retirement research for Morningstar Investment Management. And the title of the paper was, "Is a home a risky asset?" And his answer was, yes. And you should keep that in mind before you stretch to buy.
All right. Chris Farrell, Marketplace's economics contributor. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
One reason space travel is so expensive is because usually the rocket boosters used are disposable. They fire up the satellite or whatever and then just slam back into the ground. Elon Musk's SpaceX wants to get around this by building rocket boosters that can be recycled, that land on their own to be reused again. This evening, the space company plans to use a relandable rocket on a real mission for the first time, sending a commercial satellite into orbit. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank has more.
SpaceX says reusing rockets could drop its standard $62 million launch price by 30%. Good deal? John Logsdon at George Washington University's Space Policy Institute says prices will depend on how much it costs to refurbish the hardware.
The difference is going to be smaller for these very early relaunches. But over time, and I know Elon Musk wants to get it down to a point where the only cost is the fuel.
Logsdon says Musk has his sights set higher than satellite launches.
What Elon is doing is trying to build a space launch business based on reusability that will make a lot of money for him, and then use that money to fuel his broader and more visionary ambitions to get people to Mars.
A successful SpaceX launch today could also be good news for the company's rivals. Bill Ostrove is with market research firm Forecast International.
It does go a long way toward proving that business model.
It could also make it harder for those companies to compete. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.